It's Mother's Day, and we have a special presentation for you. I'm going to invite Tammy to come and join me. Come on up, Tammy. How many of you remember Tammy's Mother's Day sermon from last year? Anybody? And we had a wonderful discussion last night as we were sitting around the living room. Tammy and I had some time alone. The kids were out, and we just sat and talked together about the things of the Lord. And we were talking about women in the Bible. And the question was raised, who's your favorite mom in the Bible? And we said we had a great conversation about that. When the kids came back home, we invited them to participate in the conversation. And it was kind of fun. Now, at the beginning of the service, I mentioned that question to you as well. So hopefully you've had a little time to think about it. And we'll ask that in just a minute as well. But we decided it would be fun for us to come together and do something a little different this morning and take a look at the women of the Bible, and not just the mothers, but also some of the other women who got honorable mention in the Scripture, and see how the Lord has used women to preach His gospel, and how the message would not be the same without them there. And so we're going to take a look at that. We'll look at some heroes and some villains as well, and have a look at some of the virtues and the not-so-virtuous traits of these people, so that we can learn from it. And guys, this isn't just about ladies, but we can look and learn and glean a great deal from this as well, because many of these virtues and characteristics are good for us to mimic as well. However, today we are going to recognize the beauty of womanhood and the wonder the Lord has made in making us different, men and women. And I want to take you first to a passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 1, and just as a launch pad for this morning's message, and we'll read the Scripture together just to make it clear that right from the very beginning, from the opening pages of the Bible, God has made it clear that there is a difference in the genders. Not just physically, which is pretty obvious. We look different. We have very, very different physical appearance. But God has also designed us differently on the inside. And that's the part we need to recognize and honor today. So we want to honor women folk. That's the plan. And we'll read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, where it's recorded that for the first time in the Scriptures, that God made us different. Here it is, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Thank you. Look at that. We got the Scripture up on the screen. Great. Male and female, He created them. Well, as a place to launch, let me say this, that our current Western culture, this 21st century Western culture, has done a great deal taken a great deal of effort and put a lot of work into trying to break down the difference between the genders. And some of that is a good thing. It's a very good thing. There's been a long, steady season of prejudice between men and women, a prejudice in regards to women not having the same rights as men. And in the early part of the last century, a lot of those things began to change, and changed slowly throughout the end of the 20th century, and now even into the 21st century, there are certain equality issues which are, we thank God, our cultures are turning, and Western culture has kind of taken a lead in some of these things and bringing equality in those areas. However, there's also been a great deal of damage that has been done, because we haven't just brought equality in terms of our value, but we have broken down the value of our differences, and said that we shouldn't be different, we should be the same. Men are being emasculated and women are being made into men. And it just doesn't, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for society. And we want to recognize from a scriptural background, from this backdrop and what the Lord has created for us, that God made us different right from the beginning. He made us different right from the beginning. And there are qualities and virtues that we all ought to have, and characteristics we all ought to have, which are characteristics of godliness. But there are also perspectives that are going to be completely different between men and women. So I've invited Tammy to be a part of this today, because she's going to bring you a perspective which I will not bring you. And that's the truth. And so here she is. And Tammy, give us some opening words perhaps on this gender equality issue, if you have any at all.
Well... My thought about when I think about creation and even going back into the New Testament where Paul writes, there's no Greek nor Jew, there's no bond nor slave, slave nor free, and there's no woman or, male or female. he wasn't specifically speaking about. excuse me.
I'll
no,
get
I'm
some.
Fine. Thank you. I'm good. He wasn't necessarily speaking about anything other than our value before God. Okay, so as far as our value goes, thank you. As far as our value goes, we are equal. We are on the same plane. You know what? That is why it is so, we're so blessed in this country to have equal footing in so many things, but our value before God, we know we're totally the same. The problem comes, and Eric's already briefly mentioned it, is when we try and take roles that God never intended us to take, whatever gender you are, okay? Ladies, you are ladies. Something happened when we first moved to America. Eric was on a train in New York City on the tram or whatever it is, and he stood up for a lady who got onto the train, and she started yelling at him and saying, "Do you think I can't stand because I'm a woman?" And what's happened in our society, and I see that so much in our society, and you young people, young girls, let guys be gentlemen. I know all the young girls who know me have heard me say this. Please let my son be a gentleman. Honor, I think that's just, that is them, that is allowing men to show you honor. That is allowing, and it's been taken away from our society, which is such a tragedy. And I think what's more of a tragedy is that it's been taken out of the church. As Christians, we're not following the culture of what looks like out there. We need to look different on the inside, don't you think? Amen. Don't you think we need to look different? Yeah, yes, men, be gentlemen. But I think men are afraid to be gentlemen nowadays. And I'm not rebuking, but I'm just stating a fact. I think men are afraid to be gentlemen nowadays because they get yelled at on trains. Anyway, you better still open the door for me. No, I'm serious. Better stand up. I'm constantly telling the guys, stand up. I mean, it just is a thing in our society. So even though, and it's not because, when we talk about women being the weaker vessel, it's not this, I'm so weak, I can't take care of myself. It's a godly order that God has given us to see the gift of what God has given us in our femininity.
Amen. Amen.
And allow men, is that not a good word to use?
That's good.
Okay. Oh, okay. So all these little kids who know more vocabulary words than me. But I'm serious. Allow your femininity to be what God intended it to be.
Yes.
And in that, honor the men around us. And in that, allow the men to honor you. So that's what I have to say about.
Thank you, Tammy. That's exactly where I wanted you to go today, because that's what we want to do. We want to honor femininity today and recognize its value, recognize your value. So, ladies, today, please know this, at least from this gentleman, hopefully, and from the leadership of this fellowship, we want you to know that you are precious to us in the uniqueness of your design. You are precious to us. So your opinion is valuable, and your presence is valuable, and your actions are valuable. Now, we understand that all of us are prone to stumble in some ways or other, or others. And so it is necessary for us to recognize those areas where it's easy to stumble and to build up some defenses against stumbling in those areas. Now, typically, there are ways in which men stumble which women do not stumble, and there are typically ways in which women stumble that men do not stumble. There are, of course, exceptions to those generalized rules, but in regard to your character, recognize that Satan loves to attack us in our weak places, okay? He loves to attack the weak places. I mean, he's not a fool. Well, he is a fool, but he's a smart fool, put it that way. He's a smart fool in that he doesn't throw all of his efforts at your most strongly defended area, because he's wasting his time there. He instead goes for the areas in which you and I are going to be most weak. And so there are areas that we can fortify. And today, part of what we want to do is fortify you by saying, we acknowledge you, we honor you as women. We love the fact that God has made you and made you a part of this. And we realize that the gospel would not be the same gospel story that we have if it weren't for the participation of the women that are going to be mentioned today. And of course, the ones that we can't get to today, but that are in this holy writ. So thank God for that. All right, well, as we launch into this, let's open up just with a quick word of prayer. Can we do that? That the Lord will take this time, fun as it may be, but to actually develop something inside of us. So, Lord, as we come to your word and as we sit around this table and we have a chat today, we pray that you, Holy Spirit, would move us and lead us and guide us, even in the congregational response and our response to the congregation's questions. Lord, may your name be glorified and may we see you exalted in every aspect of this church life. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have very briefly, just to establish again the difference, we had that Genesis 1 verse 27 scripture that God made us, and he made us male and female, and notice that we're both made in the image of God. That means we have equal value in the Lord. However, we are different in our design, and we have different purpose in our design, and some of that is seen in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 19, and I'm going to read what has for some time been a reason perhaps for the prejudice between men and women, and certainly a prejudice in the sciences. From this passage, it helped men to kind of claim the sciences for themselves and say, well, women don't have any place here. Of course, that's changed in the last century, but some of that prejudice still remains, and maybe it's because of this passage of Scripture right here. Verse 19 of Genesis chapter 2. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Notice that when Adam was naming the creatures, we'll see, Eve was not yet present in her beautiful form. At this time, she was still part of who Adam was. You can leave the scripture up there. That's actually fine. Thank you. Adam was on his own naming these creatures. That's an interesting thing. And of course, we say perhaps the prejudice in the science came from that, in that it was a man's job to name the creatures and not a woman's job. Some would say that's because if they had both had to try to name the animals, there would have been great arguments and the first sin would have happened right there. But I can't say that to be true. I'm not sure. But anyway, what's that? If it was us, we might have had arguments about that. That's true, but what we do see is that Eve was actually in Adam when he was naming the animals. So, the two of them were officially actually one before she had been taken out. So, really, the argument is kind of undone. Nonetheless, instead of seeing this as a negative passage, I want to see it as a positive passage, because we're going to notice something from this passage that's very important. Read on. It says, so Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. I want you to notice that in all of this naming of the creatures, Adam came to a very swift realization. Wait a second, I'm alone. And it's not good for man to be alone. And he recognized that and realized that. And somebody said in the first service that God actually used that to teach Adam a little bit about how God wanted to have a bride as well for his son, and that there was no suitable companion, as it were, for his son. And so Adam kind of is a sort of a foreshadowing of Christ and his church. And we see that mystery talked about in the book of Ephesians, actually. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes about that. So it's really profound thought here that we recognize that God has created us to understand that there is a necessity. We need to have that. In the same way that Christ needs and wants the church, the same way man needs woman. And the two together become this glorious, wonderful, unified entity. Anyway, the second thing that came out in the early service, and that was, I think Tahila was the one who brought it up, and this was really neat. I didn't know this, and so I learned something today from my 16-year-old daughter. Don't you love that? And tell us a little bit, Tahila, about what that word means. You said something about the original language for the word named. Explain it to us a little bit.
Well, in the original language, the word named is not just giving a name. It's taking responsibility for. So in naming the animals, he was, in essence, taking responsibility for the animals and saying, like, I'm going to take care of you.
Wow.
And I'm responsible for you.
Wow.
So even in naming Eve, that's what he was saying.
That's a very, very, very important, I think, a very good thing. Thank you very much. Is that good? And thank you, Christian School, for these things. I appreciate Trinity Christian Academy this morning. But in the naming of his of these animals and in the naming of Eve, he's taking responsibility for them. It's a very important thing because when we see Eve stumble, there's something very important I need you to see about this. So this is just the foundation, but real quick, it says Adam couldn't find anybody. Verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now a bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. So he names her and then takes responsibility for her, I suppose. And therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. There's a couple of things I want to pull out of this that are very important for us to recognize. Number one, it was man's responsibility to take care of woman. Okay? That was a godly order that was right from the beginning, that the man had responsibility to take care of and to be the protector, okay, and to cover her. That is a God-given responsibility, and it is a mystery because it is actually a foreshadowing of Christ who takes responsibility over his church. We are not responsible for Jesus. Jesus is responsible for us. So if you ever have a confusion as to whose role is whose in the order of things, just think about it in terms of Christ and the church. That's the best way. What is Christ responsible for? Well, he's responsible for provision. He's responsible for protection. What is the church responsible for? The church is responsible for carrying his name. So our women take the name of their husbands. We carry the name of our Christ, of our Lord and Christ. And women are responsible for taking care of his family, and for being the ones. The church are the ones who reach out and love to one another. And women do that. They are nurturing by nature. Most women, I mean, obviously there are exceptions, but most women are nurturing by nature, more so than men. In our family, that's true. My kids will tell you. I'm like a cat. I'll come around when I want to. And then there's some other things we want to notice here, that the two of them were one. He saw them as part of the same, made from the same material, made from the same stuff, cut from the same stock. So there's no subservience. She's taken from his side, not from under his feet. Got it? She's not from over his head. She's from his side. So there's a companionship here, and it's an equality that's right from the beginning. And then the other thing is there's a nakedness involved here. And guys, I got to talk about this for just a minute. One of the biggest ways in which men dishonor women in our current day and age, and probably throughout the ages of history, has been that we have removed the preciousness of femininity, and we've replaced it with this idolatrous image of nakedness that results in our lust. And we see women as something to be used rather than something to be protected. And right from the beginning, I want you to see that they were both naked together and they were not ashamed. So there was a shameless openness. They were completely exposed to one another. There was no need to build up any separation between the two of them. This is the godly order. It's how God has, in marriage, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Notice, thank you. Notice... Which is why we have a woman at the table here.
Waiting for him to say it.
I did mention it in the first service. In verse 25, take a look there, guys. Young, especially the young fellas. I want you to take a look at this real quick. But young ladies, some of you need to see this as well. I want you to see verse 25. It says, and they were both naked, the man and his?
Wife.
Thank you. His wife. Okay, if you're ever getting naked with someone who's not your wife, guys, I want you to know something. It's out of order. Okay, it's out of order. And now I know we have some children in the church today, and I don't want to get over the heads of all these kids and get into some weird stuff here. But I just want to tell you, there is a godly order to our sexuality, and it's within the context of marriage.
That's right. Amen.
And that's it.
Amen.
So if you're engaged in anything that is outside of the context of marriage, that's this kind of stuff, you need to quit. You want God's blessing in your life? You need to quit. You don't want to have a whirlwind, reap a whirlwind in your life? You better quit. You better ask God to forgive you. We just have a life. We have a world right now that's so eaten up by this stuff. And I just want to say, let's make the church a safe place.
Amen.
For our women. Okay, that takes the foundation principles there. Now we want to get to the question about favorite moms. So Tam, you want to see?
I'm gonna actually just ask the question, and I'll run around with the microphone. And the question that came in our living room last night that was asked was, who's your favorite mom in the Bible? And so I am going to look for people to raise their hands. And you're first. And
we're
recording.
We're going to record it, yep.
So that's why. And we all need to hear you. Okay.
Naomi. And the reason I like her is she wasn't just a natural mom, but she also took Ruth in and she taught Ruth.
Yes.
And that's whether we are children to our own families and we were adopted, or whether we were brought in as foster kids, or whether we're natural biological children. The duty, I believe, of a woman is to teach.
Amen.
Her children. And the ones that aren't her children. You know, there's a delicate way of talking to kids. I mean, we have certain rules in our house. And I have to go back and say that my grandchildren, when they're in my house and their parents are not present, those rules apply.
Yeah.
Now, if mom or dad are present in our house, those rules apply. So what I'm saying is that we need to discipline and bring them up properly, but we also need to love them.
Yes. Amen. Amen. That's a wonderful observation. I love Naomi too. She's also one of my favorites. When I was going through the list, I thought about Ruth and Naomi, you can read her story, by the way. Those of you who are not familiar with the story, you can read it in the book named Ruth. It's in the Old Testament, and it comes before the Psalms and so forth. Actually, it comes before 1 Samuel. You can read the story of Ruth, but it's just a 4-chapter book, and it tells a beautiful love story and a wonderful redemption story. And some of the backstory is really good stuff as well. Maybe I'll talk about it one other day. But I love Naomi for this reason, because even though she loses her own 2 sons and her husband in a foreign country, where they shouldn't have been in the first place, she does not give up on God. She holds fast to her faith, even though it seems like nothing good is happening to her. It seems like the whole world, everything's gone bad. Yet she maintains her faith and raises up the daughter-in-law to have the same faith in God. That's a powerful thing. Tam, what do you say?
Yeah, I love what you brought up, Anne, about taking other people's children in. And not that we're called to boss everybody else's kids around. That's not what I'm talking about. But really for nurturing the preciousness of the children in the household of faith, I think we have such an incredible responsibility on our hands. We have had the opportunity, and as some of you have known, to take care of one of our own, another mommy's child living in our home. And you know what? I got to tell you that it transformed our lives. It shaped something inside of me about the heart of God. It taught me something about the heart of the Father that I don't think I ever understood until now, until after that whole season with little Samantha. But you know what? The heart of God, and one of my favorite scriptures is I'm not sure of where it is, but it's he sets the lonely in families. He's a father to the fatherless. You know what? And we are to have the same heart as our Father has. When you see children that are lonely, that are out there, and you know, maybe there's somebody here today, and God is calling you to something. And dare I say, you know what? Maybe there is a child. I mean, we have some people in our fellowship that have adopted children. And Naomi is a great, and this, it's funny. I'm just amazed at what is different, what comes up differently in the second service to what came up in the first. But yes, you know what? I'm going to just throw that out there. We have some people in the congregation that have taken in children and raised them to fear and love the Lord. And you know what? We don't have to be the ones to birth these kids, But if you know children, and I just want to throw that out there. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. He is looking for families to place children in. They are lonely, broken children out there who need homes and need families. And this is not, I'm not working for some adoption agency or anything or for social services, but I'm telling you, I'm working for the kingdom. And broken children and children who are not in families are part of that kingdom that God wants to draw in. So I just want to bring that out there.